Well, good morning to you, and allowing me for the time to be with you, I thank you very much. The song that was just sung was, my mother died about 20 years ago. She was a husband had left her and left her with three boys to raise. And her favorite song in the whole time we were at church was Where No One Stands Alone. And she was looking forward to the last 5 years of her life. She battled cancer, and she was looking forward to being in heaven where no one stands alone. So thank you for that song. Thank you for allowing me to be with you today. My wife, Georgia, is with me, and my daughter and her husband, Tom, and their two children attend West Hobbs Street, and they're here with us. And many of you, my friends, we've had the opportunity to know over the years, and I appreciate you coming and bearing with me. And we're turning on to get it. I want you to, the introduction said that Harry's been in Haiti for the past 7.5 or 8 years. We've had the opportunity to work with some churches. We've had the opportunity to work with some organizations to spread the gospel of Christ. What you see on the screen right now is a picture of the Capitol. We would call it our White House. I've had the opportunity to be blessed to work with the president of Haiti in his office and go in there once a month. I have a little ticket, a little badge that allows me to go into the president, to the first lady, to the prime minister. They'd never heard of the Churches of Christ before. As we mentioned, the Church of Christ in Haiti is a very small organization, very small, where voodoo and Catholicism make up 90-some-odd percent of the religion. So you've been very blessed and, to send missionaries throughout the world. I was reading some of the work on your website that y'all work in, and met one of the brothers, a couple of you going to Mexico in a few weeks down there. So I know you're interested in missions and the work you've supported, and I saw some stuff out front on Guyana that you've been in. Thank you. What amazes me is that picture. That was 45 seconds that I was rambling right there and giving some introduction. Here's what the palace looked like after the earthquake on January the 12th of 2010. In those 45 seconds that I was speaking there, 316,000 people died. I think about that. 316,000 people died in a country that their main religion is Catholicism and voodoo. How many of them knew Christ? How many of them would have liked to have one more minute or one more hour or one more day? I've heard one more sermon or I've heard one more invitation song that you'd sent somebody into the country. Share the gospel of Christ. We had 1.5 million people that were left homeless and lived in tents for about 1.5 years. I went down to evaluate the earthquake, and my background was 25 or plus years in medical sales and marketing to evaluate the medical side. And I ended up coming home and retiring and going to tell my wife I would go down and work 1 or 2 years and volunteer, and then 3 and then 4 and then finishing 7 this year. And the other night, I had told her I was going to quit this at the end of this year. And the other night, I said, well, what about if I try it one more year? She said, well, you're not going to go as much. You're going to cut back. So we did that. There's a song in the book, and something's not in this particular book. There's a balm in Gilead, heal the wounded soul. And it says, if you can't preach like Peter and you can't pray like Paul, you can share the love of Jesus and say, He died for all. Now, I can't preach like Jimmy Clark. I can't pray like Jerry West. And can't lead singing like we heard this morning. But I'm able to share the love of Jesus. It's amazing when you go into countries and third world countries and developing countries to have people want to have a Biblia. We'll have people lined up to have Bible studies. We'll have people lined up to receive a Bible that we give out. If we were to go to downtown Athens or Madison or Decatur to pass out Bibles today or tracts, people would, you know, just shake their head and just shun us. So we say, wait. People always wanted to know more about my Jesus. And we had a Sunday school class that was taught this morning as well as it was in the Old Testament. And if you opened it up for questions, you would be there for an hour or hour and a half answering questions. They want to know more. They will never look at their watches and say that Brother Clark's running over this morning. They'll stay as long as you're willing to share with them. I thought I would direct in our minds and our subject, how would we in the churches describe a missionary today? What is our mission? Maybe we should put the mission back into missionary. So I was working on my thing in John chapter 20 and verse 21, that Jesus said to them, as the Father sent me, also I send you. Now, missionary is somebody that's sent by Jesus, just as he was sent by God to this earth to serve us. I'm not saying that I've heard Jesus or heard God speak to me. I have not said that. But I'm trying to take this into it. The great factor of this working in the country of Haiti is not that we get caught up in helping the needs of the people, which we do, and we always do, but we need to be true to the one who sent us. We need to carry out God's word wherever we go. We go into the church to pass out school supplies next month. We go into them to give them shoes, and we go in to give them literature. We have materials printed that we're allowed to go into our schools on Christian material and teach. But we have to remember that those school supplies and those backpacks also have a Bible in them, and they also have literature in their native language, Creole. Sometimes we get into the point that we look at ourselves that, hey, we get caught up. I see women come in each day from City Soleil, and they'll walk over and they'll have a 2-year-old child or a 3-year-old child, and they give us their children. And you think, wow, how could a mother give away her child? The more we think about it, the churches have orphanages there, and the churches have schools and a place to care for their children. That mother is thinking that child would be better off into that. We try not to get too caught up in the needs of those mothers and those children. We need to keep continue about what their souls are more about. I get caught up when I see people that are dying of no medical care and no help to encourage them to get any kind of better. I had a message this past week. I was showing my wife that a girl was in terribly bad health and there was no way to go to a doctor. So I had to get medicine down. I'll be carrying it next week. 3 months ago, I had a young lady call me at the orphanage there. The little boy had an abscess tooth. She needed $50 to have his tooth repaired. It was an abscess. We have to pull the tooth, and then all of a sudden, they wasn't taken care of, and it ate a hole on the outside of his face. They waited so long. So she said, we have to have $300 to do surgery. And I was traveling, I called back and I said, we need to wire $300 down to this family. On the way, I met a young man that y'all may have known, that Andy White, for lunch, and a group of children that are homeschooled children. I'd spoken to them 2 years ago or a year ago about the work in Haiti. They had been collecting change and coins for the kids in Haiti. They turned the money in to me and we opened the envelope up and it was $305. We needed $300. God works in powerful ways. We work with an organization called Live Beyond, and many of our Alabama fans here remember Coach Gene Stallings, and Coach Stallings had a son named John Mark, and John Mark had Down syndrome, and if a child in Haiti has any type of physical or mental disability, they're allowed to die, and we're building a home in Tamazo, Haiti right now. It's going to be called Johnny's House, in honor of Johnny. We've drilled over 110 water wells in Haiti with a group, Healing Hands, out of Nashville. But the most important thing is we've delivered the living water of Jesus, as he talks about in John chapter 4. We delivered tons and tons of food. Just last year, y'all helped us deliver food into the hurricane area. And we fed thousands of children and adults. But we have to give them the bread of life, mentioned in John 6, verse 35. We have a medical team and a dental team that comes down in April and October each year for the past 7 years. And we need that. We have to have that. But if we don't carry the great physician, or if you don't send the great physician, we're not doing our job by carrying the word. We've taught classes in agriculture. We've had a group from Alabama A&M and from the Department of Health go down and teach them how to raise chickens and goats and rabbits for the past 7 years. I thought it was interesting when we were a little sidebar here is that we were teaching them to raise rabbits, and the French rabbit is a delicacy. And we found out as Americans, we didn't listen to our Haitian brothers, they don't eat rabbit as a Haitian, so we have to mix it in their food without telling them what it is. But the delicacy for the Haitians is cat. And so I don't eat the cat. You know, I've had some things I didn't want to share, but growing rabbits fairly good. Well, they mentioned that we're taking our women and teaching them, and our girls, instead of continuing sending money down, we're sending down cereal boxes just like this to the women and young girls in Haiti, and they take them and they make bracelets out of them. And we sell the bracelets, and it helps them have a job instead of get it. We have the women that didn't have a job, and minimum wage went up last week. And now it's over $5 an hour, $5 a day to work in Haiti. Domestic work, a maid or a cleaning person or a cook, is gone to $3 a day. And they've asked for $11 a day and $8 for the other part. And people have complained that if they do that, they'll move their plants out of Haiti. This is a little apron that our women make. I guess you can do this. But we've given them a job. And all the jobs are through the churches, and they come into the work station. And we've mentioned we had 75 baptisms since October, and we have the work. They make a little doll, and little dolls are something that the women have. We pay them. If you don't mind, turn with me to Matthew chapter 25 and verse 31, beginning in 31 through 46. You've probably read this many, many times and probably been talked about it to Brother Jimmy in some of his lessons. I want to go over this with you just real quick here. Christ is right here is talking about the Son of Man is going to come to judge the nations. It says when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All of the nations gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed, O my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And he goes on in verse 35 and says, I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. And it goes on. And at the end, they said, when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And in verse 40, it says, he was, as surely I will say to you, as much as you did it to one of the least of these, you did it for me. And in verse 41, I want us to think about the goats right here for a minute. And then he will say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not take me in. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. And they will answer him, saying, but Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? And then he will answer them, saying, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of these, least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. And the big picture here is kind of plain to see if you look at it. This is a glimpse of the final judgment that's going to be at the end of time when Christ will sit on his throne and judge us into it. And the people gathered before us will be examples as the sheep and the goats right there. But what most surprising to a bunch of us that he's divided them into the two groups, maybe not necessarily on things that we've said, or that we've been baptized, or we've confessed Christ in faith, but it's what we have done to others. Are we carrying out his command? Broke us in this. All of us here together today, most of us here together, have put on Christ in baptism. We're here today because we're believers. We're here today because we love the Lord. We're here today because we're worshiping him and praising him. But have we reached out to somebody in the community? I was at a visit at a thing down in Moulton, Alabama 2 years ago, and a man comes up, and we were happened to be a part over here with Brother Woods when y'all had the tornado a few years ago and helped, and Mike Nix and a group of us came over, and this man walked up to me and said, "Aren't you Harry Haynes?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "When the tornado came through Moulton, about 6 o'clock in the morning, you and three or four men came down on the church bus and brought sausage and biscuits to pass out." And I thought, wait a minute, did we do that? And I said, I remember my daughter and Tom and I did it over here in Limestone County. And I thought back how little and insignificant a biscuit was to this man, but they had been up all night long, and the tornado tore down his daughter's house, and they were cold and wet and hungry. And a 50-cent sausage biscuit from Hardee's stuck on this man's mind. So we all can do something, no matter how small it means to the least of these. And those lives were characterized, those goats and those sheep, by things they had done. Many of us failed to respond to it. As I mentioned, I had 28 years in sales and marketing. I considered myself a halfway decent person. I had a great family of support, daughters. All got their education, got their masters, went through school, church members and everything, thought we'd done well. But when I saw, I buried my talents. I had my one talent, I wasn't using. But God gave me the ability to help the people of Haiti. And the only way we could do that was through the churches and through the U.S. supporting and encouraging us to do that. Now, we don't like to read some of that. In the 21st century, we might want to cut part of that out of our Bible. We may not want to read that part in those last few verses. If you'll give me a little leeway with you, I want to read it in today's version that it might be. What I read from the other was from the NJK, the New King James Version. And if you'll allow me to, I'm going to read from the HJH, or the Harry J. Haynes Version. "I was hungry and you couldn't feed me because you had to supersize your last meal. I was thirsty and you couldn't give me drink because you had to go buy another bottle of water or latte from Starbucks. I was a stranger and you wanted me deported, or you didn't want your children to go, my children to go to school with your children. I was naked and you couldn't clothe me because you needed another one of those shirts with the swoosh or the little horse on the chest. I was sick and you pointed to my behavior that led to my sickness. I was in prison and you said I was getting exactly what I deserved. And I didn't want to be a part of the prison ministry." Now, that's a little irreverent to take God's word and change it like that. But sometimes we need to look back on what we are in this version. Again, I'm not trying to say that we're saved by the works that we do, that we can pile up enough works to satisfy God. I know some friends of mine in the Lutheran church don't like the book James because it talks a lot about works. But in John chapter 1, Chapter 2, it says, "We know that we come to know him, we obey his command. The man who says, 'I know him,' but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him." You have a lot of people, the invitation song it talked about was, "Do you know my Jesus?" We get home, and we heard the people, the song like that, "Where No One Stands Alone." It's a story of a missionary, I think his name was Henry Morrison. Missionary had spent about 30, 40 years plus working in Africa. He was coming home on a ship and the President Teddy Roosevelt was on this particular ship. As they were traveling home, he and his wife had left, and they were excited about coming back to America. And as they were traveling through, and they wore some of their garments, the natives had made them, and they were proud, and they were thinking people would notice what they've done. And they go down to the dining hall in this major big ship, and the people were gushing over President Roosevelt, and they were looking at the stories or listening to the stories that he told about the exotic animals that he had killed, the different stories that he had to tell. And he was very disappointed that no one was listening, that, hey, I've carried the gospel over 40 years. And his wife said, don't worry about it. God knows what you've done. So they go home, and then they arrive in the harbor of New York, the big ship. I've had the opportunity to see where the big ships come in. There's people waiting, and the news media and everything waiting for President Roosevelt. And as they got off the ship, big fanfare and bands and everybody there, Henry and his wife got off the ship, and there was no one waiting for them. Again, he was disappointed. He went to his small apartment there in New York, and he got disappointed again that no one came to speak with him. He's old and he's tired and there's no pension, no retirement. And each day he became a little more depressed, a little more bitter, and he started complaining. And he said something to his wife, and his wife's men, you know, they always kind of give us a nod and a sigh. And his wife says, well, you know, God will listen. Tell God what's bothering you. And he went to his room, went in there, and he got on his knees, and he started praying, and he started talking. I said, tell him what, God, it's not fair. We've done this for 40 years, and no one cares. No one loves us. No one's a... So after a few minutes, 10 to 15 minutes passed, he comes back out, and his wife stops him and asks, Henry, you look changed. What's going on? He told her, I've been talking to God. And I felt like his presence told me, you're not home yet, Henry. So on this earth, we're not home yet. We still have a lot of things that we need to do. We still have some things that we need to share with our brothers and share with our sisters. Tell them about Christ. We have a church in the area called Gontier. Gontier is in the church is Bonnet. And the people were there, and we have open windows. This church was built 5 years ago, and it has a little wooden seat. And last year, a year and a half ago, a man would stand outside the windows. We don't have air conditioner close. This man was always looking in, but he would never come in. And Brother John Colbert Belton is the minister there. And he would always talk with him after services, or some of us or some people would. And he kept saying, I want to know more about your Jesus. But being in voodoo, he knew that he could be persecuted or killed if he comes into a Christian service. So he would stay outside every Sunday and listen to the through the window of Brother Belton or somebody preaching. And one day he came in the church building. He said, I want to hear more about that Jesus. And he was baptized into Christ. Been a voodoo for about 30 years, and his life has been almost threatened daily since he turned from then. Last year, we were preparing for the preacher conference in October, and I go down in August, and we go up to the mountains of Jeremy, and we're traveling through the hills, and here's a little map. As you see, the red dot is Port-au-Prince. On the far end is Jeremy, and the... It's less than 150 miles, but the terrain and the roads are so bad, it took us about 7.5 hours to get there by vehicle. And as we arrived in Jeremy that night, I wanted to get some rest. The people don't like air conditioning in the automobiles because they're not used to it as their home. And he said, we're going to go up to the mountain. So we drove another hour and a half up to a mountain. There were about 30, 40 people in a little lean-to church building we'd call a brush arbor type. He said, they want to hear, want you to speak to them. And I thought, man, I'm too tired. I really don't want to. I hadn't prepared to speak on a Monday. So we did. And he said, there's one more church up in the mountain. We went a little further, forded a river, and there were some people waiting there. And we spoke that night. I was so tired and frustrated. We had a room that had no air conditioning, no windows, no place to eat. And so we were eating our snacks and everything. And I go to bed that night, and big brave guy I am, get the chair and push up against the door, you know, so no booger would get me, you know, type thing, you know, and hot, frustrated, and sweaty. About 4:30 in the morning, and Jeremy just before you get to Jeremy, there, Damari is a fishing village, is where we were, and I heard some men outside speaking in Creole, and that made me nervous. So I get up and peep out through the screens and see these two men, and a few minutes later, Brother Bobrin gets up and he goes out, and they were all talking and carrying on, happy. And so about 5:30, 5:45, I go out and start meeting with them and talking with them. This man had walked from midnight to this area where we were in Damari, wanted to be hear more about my Jesus, and he wanted to be baptized. And I felt about this tall, you know, because I had all been complaining for the last 24 hours. And then we go out where the island, as you can see, is on the Caribbean Sea right there on the right. We sit there, but Marie and the men's little canoes or fishing boats are going out that day. So they talked, and they said that he wants to be baptized. And I said, well, there's not a church close by that has a nice baptistry in it, you know. And they said, hey, Brother Hames. And so we walked out into the ocean, and they baptized that man into it. Wanted to hear more about my Jesus. They wanted to hear more about your Jesus. They wanted to know why you're there. Sometimes we sing the song Do You Know My Jesus? And we sing it, we look at the notes. But I wonder, do we think about the words that have been sung, how important those words are to us, and what they're going to mean to us? Do you know my Jesus? I know a lot of times in the months of June, you receive invitations from different people that there's a wedding coming up. My granddaughter lives here in the Athens area, just had a birthday, and she was 2 years old. We get a special invitation. She didn't even know it was her birthday, I'm sure, you know, but we had to dress up and do the part to accept the invitation to come to my two-year-old's birthday party. You get one for a shower. You get one for a wedding invitation. But the most important invitation you'll ever receive is the invitation to accept Christ as your Savior. We had the opportunity to baptize 11 people last month in one of the new churches that you helped build. And we'd gone by, and this is a picture of one of the public schools on after it had collapsed. And this is a public school, and it says, it's got the date January 12th of 2010, and the entire building had collapsed. And the wall was still, this was the only wall still standing. And this Dieu a mandé les enfants, infants, is basically is God bless the little children. My daughter's a teacher. Many of you may be teachers, and Miss Bobo and her husband's a great teacher, and everything is. We couldn't do that in our public schools in America, but it can still be done in other countries around the world. As these children are coming to us, when we're doing for the orphanages, we're able to carry the gospel of Christ. We're able to preach to them. We're able to carry the word that God told us to carry to them. This church right here had 30 some odd, they have a nursing school in their building, and 30 nurses were killed the night of the earthquake. And now they're back to over 600 members in the community there. We have to pass out Bibles for constantly. The Bibles cost $10 a piece. This is one of their song books, but we leave them in the church. We deliver the food. This is the children begging for us. These are called Harry's Kid. This is the First Lady of Haiti. The water we talked about. And this is the president of Haiti. And this is the school that was destroyed. The church and the children were back in school the very next week attending classes under these roofs. We would still be closed 2 days because we announced we're going to have 1.5 inches of snow. These trees fell on a house, a car. And these men, I didn't have a, we go buy them a chainsaw. They cut this tree down with a machete. Bible songbooks that you sent down. My question to you is, do you know my Jesus? Have you put him on in baptism? Have you decided to follow Jesus today? I know we've rambled this morning talking about the work in Haiti, talking about a mission. We talked about what the minimum wage is. We talked about it's very poor. We have a policeman that's my security guard that he preaches, makes $4 a day from the Haitian government. But the joke is the pay is low, but the retirement benefits are great in heaven. And that's what we're all looking forward to. I ask you today to, as the invitation song will be sung, if you haven't put Christ on in baptism, the opportunity is yours this morning. It's not the Caribbean Sea with the water's controlled temperature. If you need prayers of the elders, and I know some of the elders here that love the Lord, if you need prayers of the church. Many of us in the church sometimes have things that are on our mind that are very difficult to discuss. But this is where you would bring it to the great physician, to the Lord. I thank you for listening this morning. I thank you for praying for the people of Haiti. I thank you for participating in God's work. I thank you for your youth people, young people here just went to camp for sending those people to be a part of God's work. I thank you for blessing, for being here this morning. If you need anything, we ask you to come as we stand and sing.